on his favorite word, or what you've got to do. What do you have to do? Now the Lord has already died on the cross for you. He's already paid for your sin. Every sin you or me ever has committed or ever will commit was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now what do you got to do? What do you as an individual have to do to receive that payment for yourself personally? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Please keep your Bibles open for just a few minutes. I want to show you just a couple more scriptures, three, and bring you a little small message on God's favorite word. God's favorite word. He wants you to come to Him. Come to Him. Just come. That's what God says to us. Look at verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm interested in that, ain't you? I'm interested in getting my old dirty crimson red sins turned into white as snow in the sight of God. That gets my attention. I want to know how I can get rid of those sins that I've committed all my life. I don't know how I can get them off of me. I do not want to face God with all them sins that I've committed all my life. And the Lord said, what you got to do is come to me. You got to come to Him. Now, I'm telling you, all through the Bible, you'll see the Lord inviting you to do one thing. Just come. Just come to Him. He didn't say, go to church for 50 Sundays in a year, and your sins will be as white as snow. He said, come to me. To me. Let's look at that little phrase in the Bible this morning. The first time we see it is in Genesis chapter 7. And it's dealing with the story of Noah and the flood and the ark. Genesis chapter 7. God spoke to Noah. The ark was built. The clouds was moving in. Everything was getting dark. Preaching was over with. Time be saved from the flood. God told Noah and his family this. Look at what he said in verse chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. Into the ark. The first time we see it, the Lord's saying, come in, come in. Now the ark in the Old Testament there pictured salvation. Pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. So God was saying, come in. I've got an ark of safety right here. It's going to flood. Everywhere it's going to flood. If you want to be saved from the flood, come in to this ark. God, another day, is going to cause another flood to come to this world. Another flood's coming. Did you know that? So this time it's not going to be water. It'll be fire. Fire's going to fall out of the sky and burn this world up. There's a lake of fire which burns forever and ever and ever. God says, do you want to be saved from this burning fire? Come in. Come in what? The ark. The ark of safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ hung on the cross, died on the cross, said, if you want to be saved, come in. Come in. He said, I'm the door. You know how you got in this building this morning? You came in one of these doors. I don't believe anybody in here came through one of these walls. You didn't come through a window. You came through the door. You know how you get to heaven? You've got to go through the door. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. Let me ask you a question this morning. Has there ever been a time, a point in your life when you came in through the door? I was witnessing to this girl the other day who worked at the motel where I was staying. And then I'd have to come out, wait on the pastor to come pick me up. Two different ones. I talked to two of them. This one girl, she's behind the desk. She said, how are you? Can I help you? So I said, no, I'm just waiting on the preacher to come and pick me up. So I took out a golf bag. I went over and I said, I'd like to give you something to read. Or talk to her a little bit. Or I just said, let me ask you an important question.
She said, what? I said, are you a Christian? And she said, I've not been baptized. And I said, no. If you died, would you go to heaven? She said, I don't know. She said, you know, you're the second one that's talked to me about that. And I said, well, you never know. I said, we're all going to die one of these days. I talked to different ones. And I said, we're going to die one of these days. Do you know that? And she said, well, don't talk like that. And I said, well, it's the truth. We're going to die. We're just waiting in line. Waiting to die. Just waiting in line. Our turn's coming up. You're waiting in line. I went off to church, came back, bought her some tracts. And I began to talk to her again. She said, you know, she said, I thought about what you said. We're just waiting in line. The more that phrase got a hold of me and stuck with it. I began to witness. All right, everybody stay down now. Everybody stay down. Everybody get still. Sit down. Nobody else. Okay, you're too fidgety. Unless it's an emergency or you have to with a baby, keep your seat. It's very important that you listen. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to keep you from being mean. Did you know this girl, I began to talk to her, and she said, you know what? You talked to me about that. Somebody else talked to me about that. I said, you don't get saved because you're baptized. You don't get saved because you go to church. Jesus Christ is who and who and what saves you. And you know, most people don't understand that. The Lord said, come in. Noah, you want to miss the flood? Come in the ark. Let me ask you a question this morning. She said, I believe in God. I said, well, I believe there's a president, but I've never met him. It's a different. A lot of people believe in God, but there's a difference between believing he's out there somewhere and actually meeting him personally and receiving him into your heart. There's a big, big difference. I believed in God all my life, folks, but I met him till I was 18 years old at Nebo Baptist Church. But when you meet him, it makes all the difference then. Amen? All the difference in the world it makes when you really meet him. But when you meet him, the sun shines in your soul. When you meet him, the burden lifts off your back. When you meet him, all your records pass and all of it's gone away and you begin a brand new life. It's called being born again. I told that girl that. I said, it's called being born again. I said, it has to happen at a point. And I witnessed to her another time. And I hope she gets saved. You pray for her that she will. And I see that the Lord told Noah, come in. Let me show you another way he illustrated it. Luke chapter 19. Flip it over there to Luke chapter 19. The book in the New Testament. I'm trying to loosen up my throat here a little bit. I've been preaching so much lately. I preached 19 nights in a row and 20-something times during those 19 days. And as Gary used to say when he was little, I got a horse in my throat. So in Luke chapter 19, we see the Lord say this word again to somebody. Luke chapter 19, he's talking to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a little short fella who was not saved, and he was a crook, to tell the truth. He was a publican. The Bible said in verse 1, he was rich. Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus who he was. Verse 4, he ran before and up in a sycamore tree. Verse 5, Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and what? Come down. Come down. For today I must abide at thy house. The Holy Spirit don't waste words. He put that in the Bible for a reason. Why did the Lord choose to include this story in thousands and thousands of incidents that happened during his ministry? I'll tell you why. Zacchaeus was rich. He was a big shot. You know what a big shot is? A big shot is a little shot that should be shot. And that's what Zacchaeus was. And Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord, but he was a publican. He made his living cheating people. He's a crook. Maybe in card game, maybe in raising their taxes, whatever. So he climbs up in this sycamore tree, he grabs that little limb there, and just pulls himself as high as he can, and he's up there looking, and he's looking down on the Lord. And the Lord comes over and says, Well, Zacchaeus, you're going to go to heaven. You got to come, just like Noah did. Noah had to come in. You got to come down. Come down. He had to come to Jesus, but Zacchaeus had to come down. That means if you're well-to-do, that means if you're a big shot, that means if you're rich, that means if you've got a bigger Rolls Royce than anybody in the country, you got to come down, brother. You got to come to the same one Noah came down. You got to come down off your high horse and repent, and before God, get right with it. You know why we start doing so many things for charity sometimes? They're trying to ease their conscience. And they want a clear conscience before God. But I'm telling you, you listen to me? I'm telling you, if Michael Jackson gives $10 million to help out poor children in India or Africa, that's wonderful. I'm glad he does. But God don't pay one bit of attention to it. Not one. That don't impress God in the least. God's not impressed with how much money you give. The Lord wants to know how much you keep. According to that, they ain't give none, right? So Zacchaeus up in the tree. He said, you want to help? Come down. You ought to come down off your high horse. You know, when that door of that ark was fixed there, that high-flying eagle had to soar down and come in the same door that the turtle and the snail came in. The Lord made it one door. Come down. Come down from your pride. Come down from your riches. Come down from your estate. Come down from your position and come unto me. Did you know there are people in Marion that they would never come into church like this where a preacher gets up and screams and hollers at them? They're too dignified. Yeah. Too proud. They used to call it highfalutin. I don't know if many people say that anymore. But I mean just uppity, you know, right there. Let me tell you something. God made one way, and if you're going to get saved, you got to come down the same road. The drunk on the street, the beggar, the rich, and the pious—they all need forgiveness, and only one way to get it. Let me show you another one. Let's look at John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, there's a fellow who had died. And in John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene. This man dead. Picture of a man dead in trespasses and sin. Lost without God. Lazarus. He's laying there dead. Been dead 4 days. Stunk in his grave. You know the story here? The resurrection of Lazarus is a picture of you being saved. You and I being born again. Life. Receiving life. So, the Lord said, verse 43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, there it is again, come forth, come forth. He had to come, but he come forth. Lazarus was dead physically. We are dead spiritually. Bible said, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Before you got saved, you were dead spiritually. Aren't you glad for that night that you went to an old revival meeting somewhere, sitting there dead in sin, the preacher preached, and then you heard a voice say, come forth! And boy, he told Noah, come in. He told Zacchaeus, come down. He told Lazarus, come forth! I'm glad for that night as an 18-year-old at Nebo Baptist Church that I stood up dead in my sin. My hair was way down here. I had an old pair of blue jeans on, had a flag put on them right here. And boy, I stood up and I started down the aisle. I was Lazarus that night. And the Lord said, Danny, come forth. He didn't say Lazarus that day. He said, Danny, come forth. And I just come forth and got saved at the altar. Listen, I didn't have to go straighten out anything with anybody. If I owed money to anybody, the Lord didn't say, go pay that money first and I'll forgive you. I didn't have to go tell somebody I was sorry. The Lord said, you know what the Lord wants you to do this morning? He wants you not to be ashamed in front of all these people just to come to him. Just to come to him. I'll never forget. I come down the aisle just like this. While I was coming down to the aisle, you couldn't get near the altar. I fell down about right here, right on my face. You say, well, I would just be embarrassed to do that. I was embarrassed too. I didn't want people to see me cry. I didn't want people to see me running, blowing snot and blowing around all the altar like a nut. But I'll tell you one thing, brother, when the Lord said somebody, and I knew, I didn't care what nobody thought. I hope there's somebody here like that this morning. I hope somebody's here today that says, I'm going to not worry about what people say. I'm not going to worry about what people think. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. I'm so thankful for that night that I came to him. I have never been the same since then. The Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. Let me show you another one. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. One of the best ways I know how to illustrate salvation is just come. 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 Look what the Lord said. You know what the Lord said to? No. The Lord said, come in. You know what the Lord said to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, the Lord said, come down. You know what God said to Lazarus? Come forth. You know what he's saying to you this morning? Matthew 11:28. Come unto me. You need to come unto Jesus. I've heard people say, Brother Danny, I went to the altar and it didn't help me now. You can go to the altar and it will help you. But if you go to Jesus Christ, it will help you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I, not the church, I, not your baptism, I, not doing good deeds, I, not helping out a friend, I, not being faithful to your husband or wife, I will give you rest. There's people in here this morning carrying a heavy load. There's somebody in here this morning, every day you think about it, this big old load of sins on your back. And every once in a while you do something good to kind of make yourself feel a little bit better. You might even go to church. You might even, you know what? I don't know if I've ever, I'm not going to mention this time or two, but even sometime when I was in high school, I remember before ball games, we'd all pray. We didn't know a bit more what we were saying to man the moon. Put our hand on the ball like that and pray, Our Father which art in heaven, how, you know, I wasn't even thinking about what I was saying, just rattling off words. But I knew there's a God. And I remember a time or two when I'd go out, you know, and maybe do something real wicked, mean, or something like that. But I'd go home and I'd lay down and I'd start thinking. I thought, one of these days I'm going to die. There'd be a big thunderstorm outside. I said, man, that's God up there talking to me. You know what I'd done? There was a time or two when I thought, well, maybe if I read the Bible a little bit, that he'll say, that's a good boy right down there. I wasn't fooling God, and I wasn't fooling myself. And I'd get the Bible out, and I'd read a couple of verses. I couldn't understand it. Didn't make any sense to me. You'll never be able to understand the Bible till you meet the author of that thing. Boy, it just opens up then, buddy. It's the best book in the whole world. But it don't make no sense until you really meet the author. And you know something? I'd read the Bible. I bet you there's somebody here this morning, and once in a while you pull the Bible out and just read a few verses to get rid of your guilt. And you think, well, that made up for what I've done a while ago. Kind of balanced it out. But it don't. The Lord said, come unto me! They said many years ago in a factory village, they're having revival. God was moving in the factory. There were people getting saved. Horsemen, workers, everybody. There's one fellow worked in that factory who could not find peace. He tried to pray. He tried to do good works. He tried to do everything he could in order to find peace. And he couldn't find peace. He thought, it ain't working for me. It don't work. How do I find what you people's got? And his boss man wrote him a little note and said, come over to my house at 6 o'clock. Please be there. Come at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, sure enough. Knocked him on the door. When he told him to come, he said, Kim. He said, what are you doing here? He said, you wrote me a note. You said, come at 6 o'clock. He said, that's just it. You believe me because I wrote you a note and said, come here at 6 o'clock. He pulled out his Bible and said, now here is another note. This note has come. And it says, come to me. Just like if I said, come to church this morning. You came. That's what you've got to do. To Jesus Christ, by faith, put your soul in His hands and come to it, and you can be saved this morning. You're waiting for a feeling. You think, it's not my time. I don't feel that, what I think I should feel. Man told me one time, I said, why don't you get saved? He said, I don't, hey, it's not my time. I said, how you know it ain't your time? He said, I don't feel it. I said, you don't feel what? He said, that what you're supposed to think. I said, you know what it feels like? He said, no. I said, you mean, you know you're supposed to feel something, but if you don't know what it feels like, now if you don't know what it feels like, how are you going to know when you feel it? He said, well, I haven't really thought about that. I mean, you better think about it. The devil's tricked you. You sit there and you die, you're to hell. Waiting on some feeling that you don't even know what it is. The Lord didn't say feel it. He said, come. Come. I'm telling you, on the authority of this Bible, the holy word of God Almighty, that if you'll come to Jesus Christ this morning with all your heart, trust Him and Him alone, nothing else, not your family, not what you, how you was raised, trust Him and put your soul in His hand. I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God, you'll be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been in churches where they, well, come, you know, and if you can make it through, God might save you, and then again, He might not. But I ain't got an iffy gospel. Whosoever will, let him come. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. If you'll come to God and read it, only for this book, He'll save your soul today. So what you need to do is come. In 1829, George Wilson, up in Pennsylvania, was sentenced. Capital punishment then, was, of course, was to be hanged. I was going to tell you about that other fellow there a minute ago. Just tie in with this story. This guy I told you about that met his boss man, he began to tremble, kind of shake. And the truth hit him. Just like I come over here to boss man's house, that's how I got to come to Jesus Christ. Truth hit him. He began to shake. And he said, is it true? And the guy said, yes, true. And he believed. Lips started shaking. And he came to the Lord. He got peace. George Wilson was sentenced to be hanged for murder. A few days before they hang him, or a day before, something like that, president, somebody got to the president, Jackson, at that time, issued a pardon for George Wilson. For some reason or another, I don't know, because of bitterness, he would collapse somewhere. For some reason or another, the president pardoned the man, people. He pardoned him. He could have walked out a free man. And the guy came with the pardon on the day of his hanging and said, President Jackson said this man can go free. And the man refused it. It says the first time in history that they had ever recorded a man refusing a pardon from the president. He refused it, I believe it was. They said, he refused it, would not take it. And even though the president pardoned him, the state put him to death. Because they said, nobody can accept a pardon for another man. He has to accept it himself, and if he accepts it, he gets free, and if he don't, he has to pay for his crime. I mean, he could have walked out of there. A free man! Now the truth is, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for keep you out of hell. This morning, I'm showing you He's your pardon. But if you don't receive it, it won't help you. A lot of people say, well, Jesus died for everybody, so everybody's going to heaven. Uh-uh. The ones that don't receive it ain't. A pardon must be received by the person accused of the crime. Now let's get real here for a minute, okay? Let me ask you a question. you died today on the way home from church, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You say, well, preacher, when I was little, no, don't start that stuff on me. Right now, do you know that you'd go to heaven? You reckon that might be why your life's so messed up? You reckon that might be why when people shout and say, you enjoy it and you like it, but you don't know what's going on? You reckon, has there ever been a time when you took your place as a sinner before God and the Lord said, come forth, He spoke to you, you come to Him? Has that ever happened to you? The Lord said, come. You say, I don't feel it. You come, you'll feel it. You'll feel it. You don't get saved by feeling, you get saved by coming to Him. As they get us a song ready this morning, I ask you one question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you come? Let's stand with our heads bowed. You sit here this morning, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You sit here this morning and heard an illustration and saw what you got to do to go to heaven. Now, can I ask you a question this morning? I'd like to ask you a question. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I wouldn't put you on the spot or embarrass you for nothing in this world. Honest to goodness, people, I love you, and I want you to go to heaven with us. I want you to go to heaven with us. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, why don't you come to Him? You say, well, if I come, it's going to change some things in my life. Yeah, it sure will, for the better. He's not going to hurt you. You know He's the Creator, man. You know He knows more about how to run your life than you do. Can somebody come pray with this man here? Already need to pray. God may be speaking to you. God may be talking to you this morning. All you have to do is come, like this one gentleman's already done this morning. You just have to come. Ma'am, why don't you come this morning? We have others that are coming. We need some folks alert here to pray. Man and woman, God's dealing with your heart this morning, friend. God's dealing with your heart this morning. Why don't you come? This would be the best day ever just to come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad that door of salvation's open. I'm glad you can still walk down an old fashioned altar to get down on your knees before God on the altar and say, God, I want to come to Jesus. Thank God. That's the best news this world's ever heard. Would you come this morning, teenager, girls, young boys? Would you come? Just come. Just come to Him. If you've never been saved, why don't you come? Father, please. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts this morning, just like you did to Lazarus that day, and say, come forth. God, he that was dead, bound in grave clothes, come forth out of that tomb. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that you'd bless these that have already come, these that are coming. Help that man, woman, boy, girl, not to be ashamed. Help them not to be afraid to come to you this morning. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.